Well, welcome to the message for this beautiful Easter Sunday. It's a story that's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, where they talk about the resurrection. And I just want to look at it a little different light as we analyze that scripture. Here, what I got to say, or what the Bible says, rather than overwhelm me. The early dawn, just when the first light's beginning to permeate in the black of night, filling the sky with muted colored hues, makes for beautiful photos. In fact, this time of day has been named for photographers as the golden hour. I think that's what Phil does when he does all his camera work, and he's good at it. The golden hour is a time of mystical, serene, atmospheric density filled with soft, even balanced light. At dawn, colors feel more vivid and warm, and the world feels strange, compelling, because photographs taken in the golden hour have a soft, captivating quality that can't be compared to the bright light of day. The golden hour is the photographer's favorite time to create landscapes and portraits and silhouettes that capture the exquisite beauty and mystery and the quality of the world around us. Wow, the golden hour also offers spiritual meanings for us religions and the believers in Christ, because both Jew and Christian value the early dawn with its mist, filled colors, saturated skies, at a time for meditation and special connection with God. Sort of like a time for peace or restoration and life, and more importantly, renewal. It's no wonder that the most important moment in history, Jesus' resurrection and the discovery of his empty tomb, take place in that golden hour of morning, just after dawn, when the presence of God seems to permeate the entire garden with hints of awakening. Indeed, he's awake. The scripture tells us that a group of Jesus' female disciples, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women who were with them, had gone to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared to honor his burial. Although Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had already covered Jesus' body in myrrh when they wrapped him and laid him in the tomb, the women wanted to honor him as well, so the two Pharisees hadn't had much time to enact the burial ritual. The women wanted to complete it. Now, in the Jewish tradition, as we talked about before, anointing the body with fragrant spices and oil was a way not just to prepare the body for decomposition, but to honor the dead. He was, after all, their beloved rabbi. They hoped that they could provide him with some dignity. There must have been wondering along the way, though, how they would be able to enter the tomb, as they knew they couldn't roll the rock away on their own. But perhaps they could convince the guards to allow them into the entry and to complete their ritual of respect. Through all of this, the men sat back in the upper room in Jerusalem. Neither the men nor the women imagined for what Jesus had told them would be true, because it was far-fetched, wasn't it? Quietly they mourned the dead, but the last 3 years had been quite a ride for them. But the quiet aftermath of Jesus' death, they didn't quite know what to do next. They did what any friends and family would do. They mourned, they wept, and they followed the Jewish tradition. When the women reached the tomb, however, a surprise awaited. The adjectives used in this passage are fantastic. First, they found the stone already rolled away. Who did this? They have wondered. Cautiously, they went in the tomb, but Jesus was not there. Confused and perplexed, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes appeared and stood behind them in the tomb. Now, the Gospel of John tells us there were angels, otherwise known as Shekinah, which is the presence of God. Luke tells us the women were terrified. They immediately fell down to the ground. Well, I think I would too, wouldn't you? Then the Eternal begins to speak. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He's risen. Remember, he told you that. Well, he was there in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified. But on the third day will rise again. Then they remembered his words. After their experience, which John elaborates even further in the Gospel of John, the women run back to the house where the men are sitting and tell them what they saw. The men do not believe them. Peter, the head of the group, he went ahead and ran out to the tomb himself, stooped down and looked in, and he saw the linen clothes, but Jesus was not there. Shocked and amazed, he went back to the house, confused about what had happened. Shocked. Confusion, disbelief, these were the first reaction to Jesus' resurrection because nobody expected it, despite anything and everything Jesus had tried to tell them and teach them about what was going to happen. They had not believed it. Some might say, well, they were dumbstruck, and I'd like to think they were God-struck, because as we talked about that golden hour of the day when the world emerges from the dark of night, for yet another day, Jesus had emerged. His life has just begun in a brand new way. So that phrase, the golden hour, isn't just confined to spirituality or photography. No, it has a third meaning. The medical field calls it the golden hour, that brief transitory time in trauma care when a patient lingers between life and death. Urgent medical care can save a patient's life. If the patient had a traumatic accident or heart attack or a stroke or an aneurysm, time is of the essence, and the patient may even pass briefly away to be resurrected and recovered in the nick of time. Well, during this critical time, patients have reported their most interesting experience, some unconsciousness and others, what we call near-death experiences. The boundaries between death and life are mysterious to us. Each writer that we witness the death of leaves or foliage or the disappearance of creatures and insects as the cold sets in. Yet in the spring, the world awakens with new buds and bugs and flowers and bees and colors and dead seeds that burst into growing plants, hibernating animals come back into the light. Oh yeah, we find it hard to believe in the resurrection sometimes. It's hard to understand how the darkness of death can yield to new life. But think about it, it's all around us, especially this time of the year. Not just in nature, but every time that we call upon God and God lifts us into a new and promising place. Yes, every time that we feel afraid and feel God's peace warming and calming in our veins. Every time that we feel all hope is gone and are gifted a second chance. Every time we doubt but then experience the presence of Christ in our lives. Our homes, our community, our churches, our children, our own spiritual and emotional resurrections. So why do we look for the living among the dead when life's all around us? Jesus is all around us. He is here. He is everywhere. He is resurrected, and he's more vivid and real than anything else that we must ever know. So in this golden hour today, this Easter Resurrection Sunday, as every day since the women entered that tomb, we have been made aware, whether in surprise or an acknowledgement, that the resurrection is real. Life is mysterious and beautiful for Jesus and for us. He is risen. He is risen indeed, and so are we. On this Resurrection Sunday, may you encounter the risen Christ, not only this day, and allow him to dwell in you and among you now and forever, that you too may experience the gift of life right here, right now, in this wonderful day that God has prepared for us, with the gift of eternal life, if we only trust and obey, for there is no other way.